Children's Church. Thank you. Thank you, Aaron and Susan. Thank you. But we have the kids. Thank you. So blessed. Well, as we can't continue on in our study on the Sermon on the Mount, Standards of the Master, as we're in the Beatitudes, if you'll turn to your Word, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and we are at verse 8. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. And if you would, as you're turning to that, stand to your feet in reverence of God's Word. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. The Word of God says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. It's so great to come, sing, to worship, to feel your presence. We thank you so much for your Word. We're asking you, God, just to hide me behind the cross. God, may your Word go out and touch people's lives exactly where they are. And we'll give you all the praise and all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, I know there were several of you guys that went over to the Hope for the Mountain Crusade over in Ashe County at the high school. Some of you went every night. It was such a blessing. And Sandy and I, we went Sunday night with the youth, and then we went Wednesday night. And I noticed Wednesday night, as we were standing up and we were having our praise time, our worship time, that there was a lady that was right in front of me, and her head, kind of like this, I know this screen right here, we're going to have to put up with a little blockage of our screen, and that's fine, because we can deal with that. But she was kind of like blocking our screen, and one of my eyes, my left eye was kind of here, my right eye was there, and I noticed that my right eye was looking pretty good, but that left eye wasn't looking. It was like, man, something's not right. So I started doing this. You ever do that? I noticed that when I needed glasses in my high school days, the first time that I realized that I had a problem with my eyes is I was up to mischief, and I was peeking through a little door trying to see who was after me. Somebody was after me, you know, and I noticed, I thought, man, everything looks so much brighter with my right eye, but my left eye, something's not right. And so we know that, how many of us have discovered that we have eye problems, and we know that we need to go to an optometrist and get things checked, and we got to find one and do an eye checkup to make sure that our sight is good, and we're all concerned. Some of you that are blessed with 20/20 vision and don't need glasses and all that, what a blessing that is to have great eyesight. And I want us to think about this morning about our, and the title of this lesson is 20/20 Spiritual Vision. 20/20 spiritual vision, and we'll get into that, flesh that out in just a little bit, but oh, to see with our spiritual eyes. Oh, that we would see when we need correction with our spiritual eyes, that we notice that something's kind of blurred and not quite right, all these things. And when we get to this, Matthew chapter 5, it's verse 8, and not 8 exactly, but 5 verse 8, when we get to this point in the Beatitudes, what a profound statement that Jesus is making here. When he's talking about when we get, and I'll just be honest with you, as I read these Beatitudes in the past, as I read through them, I didn't really take the gravity of each one of them. And I just thought, you know, Jesus is just preaching and he's saying these things. Thank you, Chris. What a great man. You can do that. Good job. 5 and verse 8. But he's saying these things, not just randomly saying them. This is God, God in the flesh. And he's preaching this sermon to these people on the mount. And these Beatitudes are not just little tidbits. They're not just little things that we can take and choose or say, oh, that was just so nice. That's so sweet. What Jesus. None of these things are sweet, okay? This is really getting to the core of who we are. And I've had, I said last week, I've had such a difficult time in the study and the preaching of these Beatitudes. Why? Because I saw myself and I didn't like what I saw. And so God's Word is so powerful and it penetrates our souls. And then when we get to this point today, we're looking at this spiritual 20/20 vision and a spiritual vision. How is it that, what's God talking about there? Well, it says in that scripture, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And we'll think about that. First, I want to look at two things. First, the Beatitude. And it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." And the essence of the Christian position and teaching is this idea of being pure. And we'll think about that. The gospel of the Lord is concerned about what? The heart. We'll talk talk about that. We'll flesh these things out. The Pharisees that Jesus was preaching to in the religious system of that day in the preaching and teaching on the Sermon on the Mount was all about, they were all about this works kind of thing. They looked good. It talked about they had to look good, or they would dress up on Sundays or through the week. They would pray out in front of everybody. They would give. They would do all these things. And so the outside looked good, but Jesus was dealing with, the problem was with the inside. Do you realize that you can look as good as you can this morning? So thankful for you guys that dressed up and took a shower and all those things. It's not about what we wear, by the way, here. You can wear, just come out, but here's the deal. How many of us looked on the inside? How many of us took a spiritual shower on the inside? And that's what Jesus was dealing with. You see, these Pharisees were so religious, and they looked so good, but yet they were wicked, and there was nothing there on the inside. And I just to be honest with you, I'm afraid that's the state of where we are in America in our churches today. But we can look good. We can say we go to church. We can pay our tithes. We can do all these things. We can sing in the choir. We can even teach Sunday school and all these things. But we do not deal with the matter and the problem, and that's the heart. I want you to know something. You don't think it ain't real? There was a lesbian wedding in Todd this week. Okay? You want real? That's right here in this community. You want to keep on playing church and act like it's not going to touch us? It's coming, and it's here. And if we don't get our act together, it's going to swallow us up, okay? And these Beatitudes are right in. You think it's just, I don't think it's a coincidence that God's got us preaching in this at this time. We are desperately in need of getting back to what Christ said. This is what a kingdom citizen looks like. And we can play church and keep on playing and keep on going down the toilet. That's where we're at, by the way, going down the tubes. This purity that God is calling for. And I want you to understand, he don't say blessed are the pure in head or the mind. It's very important. So it's not this intellectual understanding, as important that is, but it's a purity of the heart. It's a heart understanding. We need always to remind ourselves that the Christian principles and understanding and faith is ultimately a matter, not just a matter of doctrine, as important as doctrine is, or not just a matter of this understanding, but it's an understanding. You know what? You can be a student of this word. You can know it, memorize it from the front to the back, and still not be right with God. You believe that? That's the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter how much you know up here, it's what you know in here. And that's what Jesus is getting to this morning. He's telling us that it's this Pharisaical religion that he was confronting had reduced life down to this righteousness that was this works thing. I don't do this, I do this, and that's what makes me right with God. Oh my goodness, if that's all your Christianity is this morning, it's no different than a Pharisee's in their beliefs. I don't do this, but I do that. Is that what being right with God is? These are just manifestations of being right with God. The crux of the whole thing is your heart right with God? Do you have a proper relationship with Him? And when that relationship is right, all these other things fall into place. And that's what Jesus is getting to this morning. And so when I read this, when I think about this first part, the Beatitude, blessed are the pure in heart, then let's ask two questions. I don't know about you, but I have to ask questions when I read these things. First question is, what is pure? What does it mean to be pure? That pure, by definition, means free from every taint or mixture of outside element, not having mixed with anything else. So that's the definition of pure. Most of us equate purity with sexuality or sensuality. Jesus is speaking about something much more deeper than that. In fact, he's getting to the foundation of the thing. It's not the manifestations of these problems, but what is the foundation of it? And that's where he's talking today. This purity that he's speaking about, this not free from every taint or mixture from outside element or not having mixed with anything, is really speaking about a singleness of heart, a singleness, an undivided loyalty. If you remember James, when we went through the book of James, James says, purify your heart, you double-minded. It's talking about this sincerity in our relationship with God. If I asked you, how sincere are you in your relationship? You could tell me many things, but you know what? You could step back and look how your life is lived, and that will prove out how sincere that you are, how loyal, how undivided that you are to Christ. Is how we live these things out. So this singleness of heart. Well, not only do I just ask that question about what does it mean to be pure, but the next question is, what does it mean by heart? I gave Sandy a birthday card this morning. Obviously, it's her birthday, and on it says, I love you with all my heart. What's it talking about there when we're talking about the heart? Is it talking about this muscle that's pumping? And I think it was Jordan and I was talking about, she was talking about studying the cardiovascular system and how amazing that it is. And God made this little muscle. You got a muscle about the size of your fist in there, and that thing's working this morning, and it's pumping vital blood all throughout your body. And just the amazing thing, is that what he's talking about, that little muscle that's constantly beating? And here's the amazing thing to me, is I'm not standing here thinking, okay, heart, you need to beat. Or is anybody else? I mean, if you are, I'd like to know. I'm not telling it to beat. It's just an innateness of doing it itself. It's an amazing thing. Is it speaking about that muscle, that little heart there that it's speaking? No, that's not what. It's really talking about that, the center of our mind and our emotions and our will. It's how we feel, how we decide. It's this totality of thinking. It's not just, I want you to understand, it's more than just emotions, because I heard somebody say today, this is how I feel. Guess what? You can feel all you want to about these scriptures, but your feelings can give your can fool you, okay? Does anybody believe that? Say amen. Our feelings can confuse us. It can deceive us, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But this is the idea of this center of our mind and our emotions. The center of our personality, not just emotions or affections, but who we are. The heart is the fount out of which everything else comes. It's the center of being and the source of every activity. If that's what it's talking about, then we think about the scriptures and we think, you know, we got a problem then. What's that problem? You remember in Genesis chapter 6, and God, he said, you know what? He said it grieved God that he had created man. All the way back to after creation. It hadn't been that long. Think about Genesis chapter 6. And in fact, he makes this statement. What does he say? Every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. He destroyed the earth because of the heart problem that man had. So it's talking about we need to love God with a pure heart, then we need to think a little bit more. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jesus is stating here that in this beatitude that he doesn't approve of anything but perfection, purity of heart. I don't know about you, but it's like, man, when none of us are. None of us are perfect. None of us are pure. So he's showing us again that need for a Savior, that need for who he was. We receive his purity when we receive his forgiveness. We're made pure. We're made right before him, right standing for God. If we're deceitfully wicked, if we're born with a wicked heart, we're born into sin, then we desperately need a Savior. And I want you to know where he's talking about those that he said, blessed are those who are pure in heart or poor in heart. And then he says, blessed are those who mourn. So see this cycle. We see that we need Christ so desperately. And then last week is we hunger and thirst for righteousness. And when we start hungering and thirsting for righteousness, you know what? This purity of heart, we understand our position in Christ. I want you to know, do you understand your position in Christ this morning? If you're scratching your head, listen, that's the most important thing. And this beatitude could be one of the most important things you ever hear in Scripture. Pure in heart. You will never stand before God without this purity. Never. So what are we saying then if he says, blessed are those who are pure in heart? Here's the deal. We need a heart transplant. We all need, every man, every person, every boy and girl that's ever born needs a heart transplant. But you know what? You say, ooh, well, we got the best heart surgeon there's ever been, okay? That's Jesus. He's never lost one, by the way. Never lost one. But if there's not been a time in your life where he transplanted your heart, in fact, he took that heart of stone out and he puts in a heart of flesh. That's what the scripture says. He gives us a heart, a new heart. We become a new creation in him. He can remove our heart of stone. I'm so thankful. You know, like the Pharisees, we cannot do this ourselves, okay? We don't measure up. Only he can do that. Only he can make us pure in heart. But I want you to know when we are pure in heart, when we have received Christ's forgiveness, there's a longing. He said, be thou holy as I am holy. There's a longing for holiness. There's a longing for purity in our lives. It's not just going along with, you know, if we look at the world standard, we measure up pretty good, right? We measure up pretty good if we say, we're not like them, But how about the Scripture standard? Where we measure up and we see it's this idea of becoming like Christ. It's this idea of His purity in our life. Becoming more and more like Jesus every day. How about you? Is your walk that way? This is the way. Walk in it. That's our motto for tonight, about Vacation Bible School. What's your way? Are you walking in it? You're walking in a way this morning. Is it Christ's way? Something for us to think about is that Romans 1 tells us in the Scripture that man's without excuse. Man's without excuse, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, but he's without excuse. Why? It says that everybody's had the same ways of things, creation and a consciousness that will draw them to God. And so that means, oh, what about that man out on the island that's never heard about Jesus? Nobody's without excuse. You can make your scenarios, play it all you want to. The Scripture says in Romans 1 that the man, nobody's without excuse. We'll all stand before God and give an account. You can play dumb all you want to. Nobody will be without an excuse. We have this creation to look at in consciousness. We'll talk about that in a little bit more. Jesus demands, listen. Jesus demands the humanly impossible, then he just supplies what's needed. What he demands, he supplies. That's our Savior. If you are here, you must see your need for a pure and a new heart before he can ever change it. But when you receive this transplant, you know what you do? You realize that your routine changes. Something different. Something happened. What happened? Christ in me, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell within us. And we change our routine. We no longer are conformed to the image of this world, but we're transformed by God's Word. That's the idea of this holy or pure that he's asking. Blessed are the pure in heart. Well, that's the beatitude. Let's look at the benefit. For they shall see God. For they shall see God. There's no others but the pure in heart's going to see God, okay? I was thinking just a minute earlier this morning, I was thinking if somebody came in that door right now and said, oh, come out here, here's God. How many have looked but be flowing out? We all want to see God, don't we? We want to experience it face to face what we will one day. We all through faith want our faith to become sight, and those that have went on and loved ones that have went on in Christ, faith became sight, and we draw strength from that. But we all desire to see God. We all desire to see Him, the Almighty. In fact, that's our main objective for our spiritual eyes, is to see God. I love Helen Keller, and we know that story of her born mute and blind and couldn't hear. And she said, and somebody once asked her, listen, this is a typical person to ask you this kind of question, you know, those kind. Isn't it terrible to be blind and deaf? You know those kind of people, don't have any kind of screen whatsoever. You'd ask her, isn't it terrible to be blind and deaf? This is what she answered. Better to be blind and see with your heart than to have two good eyes and see nothing. She knew Christ. Better to be blind and see with your heart than to have two good eyes and see nothing. We live in a world that is groping around in darkness, trying its best to figure out what life's about. Spiritually blind. We, as God's people, need to shine the light in the midst of darkness. We need to shine His light. I I want to ask this question. Is this verse talking about now, seeing the God now, or in the future? The answer is yes. Then how? Here's my question. Then how do we see God now? How do you see God now? I look forward to the day, and I want you to know something. One of these days, it's going to be the greatest thing that ever happens to you when your faith becomes sight. But what about seeing God now, in the here and now? How can we see God in the here and now? Well, I'm glad you asked me that. Look, first is in creation. We just talked about that. In creation, or in His Word, I'm sorry. In His Word first. Look, I'm already trying to get ahead of it. In His Word is the best way that we can see God. You say, what are you talking about? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light in thy path. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your Word. How is it that we can see God? You know what He did? Just like that birthday card I sent to her today and talked about how much I loved her and all that. God sent you one also, a love letter. And He says, I love you. And how many times do you read the love letter? Now, I want you to know, before I got saved, it's like reading Chinese. That's the truth. I pick it up and say, how in the world is anybody getting anything out of this, man? I couldn't understand it. I could not. And I was one of those guys that had a certain version, thought that was the only version. They ain't listening to nobody else. And I was so hungry for God's Word. And I said, God, just tell me, just show me, just speak to me by your Word. And you know what He said? Get rid of the traditionalism. Just if you're hungering for me, then take my Word. Take my Word and read it. Find you one that you can't understand until the Spirit of God opens your eyes. And that's what He did for me when I turned loose of all the things that man says is right. And I said, God, you're right. You're in control. You know what? He opened His Word to me. I'm still learning from it. I'm still a student. I'm still reading the love letter every day. Every day. You might be that person you're struggling with understanding God's Word. First, make sure you have a relationship with Him, because it's only through the Spirit of God that we understand the things of God. We can see Him through His Word, in His Word. But next, in creation. Do you know that you live in a beautiful place? Man, you won't believe the mass of people I have to go and put chairs up to keep them from coming in here on Sunday. Say, it's for church parking only. Duh. Does people not understand that? They want to come and ride the river, and experience the river, and all the mountains. That's fine. That's fine, because why are they drawn here? Because it's so beautiful. And you live here. You live here, and yet we can see God and His creation everywhere you look. Step outside. Don't matter how many times you've looked at a mountain, look at that mountain and say, only God could create. How do we see God? In His Word and in creation. The beauty of the river. The old crows were out here fighting behind my church this morning. He was fighting out in the parking lot. And I'm thinking, you know what He's doing? He's glorifying God. How's He glorifying God? He's a crow. He ain't trying to be a cardinal. I'm serious. It's bad when the barnyard has better ethics than we do, okay? It's better than whenever the barnyard don't even have the trouble we have. We're so intelligent. Whoa, we're the top of the heap. But we can learn a lesson from the animals. God created them. See God in everything. You want to see God? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll see God. When you get your life right with Him, you start seeing God in everything. In everything. People travel hundreds of miles just to experience what you get to see every day. Don't miss it. And don't miss the opportunity to point people to Christ and their Creator through the creation that you have. Well, not only that, in His Word in creation, but in life. You say, what are you talking about? Listen, there's many ups and downs. Does anybody say amen to that? There's many ups and downs in life, and we go through the valleys and we go through the mountaintops, but we experience God through all of those things. How many of you here can say praise God for a miracle that He's brought in your life? Yes. And so see God through any, and see Him working in people's life. See Him in the children that'll be here at Vacation Bible School this week. See Him in over 50 workers that'll be giving of their time every day. See God in that. That's only God. How in the world can you have almost 85 people in little old town of Todd, little 85 kids already pre-registered? I didn't think it was 85 kids in this whole country, okay? That's God. That's God. See God in everything. See God in the diversity of people and the love that He shows to each and every one of us. See Him in your life no matter what you're facing. And you might be facing something horrific. You might be going through a terrible time. But know that God is there. If you're His child, you know what? He didn't tell you He wouldn't take you through the storms. How many times do I have to say that? He did not tell you He would not take you through the storms. We all want to get out of storms. But you know what He said? I'll be with you. I'll be there with you. And it's through those times, trying times, that we experience God the greatest. It's through life. And the purer we are, the more we get out of His Word, the more we get out of creation, the more we get out of life. The purer we are in seeking Him, and we don't have this dividedness. We have this singleness of heart in seeing God and taking God everywhere you go. How many times have I said, man, when you get up tomorrow morning, many of you saying, oh, don't even say Monday morning. That job, man, I hate that job, that ball and chain, and I'll retire in 45 years. But when you get up and you realize there's a whole bunch of people that would just like to get up, just like to get up, just like to have the health and strength to get up and go and work, when you realize that God has given you the abilities to be able to do whatever that job is, when you realize that He wants you to glorify Him through that job, you know what? It's going to make whatever it is that's dragging it around, it's going to make it a little lighter when you realize it's unto the Lord that we work every day, that we give to Him back what He's given to us. Be thankful. It helps us to change. And when you're in that relationship, maybe you feel like your marriage is just a dead-end marriage. When you understand that God brought you together, God had a purpose and a plan, and that God can renew and refresh and restore what the locusts have eaten when we put Him at the center of it and quit trying to live it out ourselves in our own selfishness. It's God. He can do that. It's the same reason why two people in this service today can get different. You can get something different out of the service. One person, God can be speaking directly to them right in your situation. You know, the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you, and you realize that God's giving you a big old hug today and saying, I love you. I know where you're at. Another person can hear God's Word, and they can get up and leave here, and they can be thinking about where they're going to eat lunch today or what they're going to do this afternoon, and nothing changes. What is it? It's the purity and the single-mindedness that we have before God. That's what makes the difference. And that's just the now of seeing God. Oh, my friend, let me tell you something. One of these days, there's going to be a trump that blows. A trump that blows, and it says the sky's going to be rolled back like a scroll. And our Heavenly Father, let me tell you what, Jesus comes out on a cloud. Woo! I don't know if you're ready to see Him, but you'll be ready then. You better be ready, because when that happens, it's over, my friend. And when He steps out on that cloud, it's going to be the greatest thing you've ever seen in your life. When your faith becomes sight, and that which you believed in, that which the world made fun of, that which they said was just a bunch of garbage that man made up, when your faith becomes sight, it's going to mean everything to you. And all the hardship and the things that you've went through will not mean a thing compared to the awesomeness of seeing God. Being reunited. No pain. No sorrows. Nothing. But being with our God forever. That's what we look forward to. And it's the greatest event that we'll ever have, when the vision of seeing God. Paul said, and I think that Steve mentioned this in Sunday school, Paul said that we see dimly right now. It's just dimly, but one of these days we're going to see face to face. This is just a poor reflection of the magnificence of the great dynamic of the God that we serve. What you see here is just a small taste of church and serving Him and the fellowship of the saints and all the good things that we have. Just a small taste of what it's going to be like one of these days. Please don't miss. Who's teaching this? Who's teaching this very beatitude? It's Christ. It's God in the flesh. You see, that group he's talking to, if they have the right heart, they'll see him for who he truly is. You think that some on the side of that mountain that day, that group that he was preaching to, that some of them, through the Holy Spirit, was starting to understand and have that vision, that 2020 spiritual vision, the scales were getting to fall off and they're starting to realize who it is that's preaching this message, and some of them were gritting their teeth, probably wanted him dead. We know that Pharisees wanted him dead, and the scribes, they wanted rid of him and all these things. It's God. It's God in the flesh, Christ. And he says, men, if they have the right heart, they'll start seeing him for who he truly is. Do you understand that works in 2015 today? If you have the right heart, you'll start seeing Christ for who he is. Let me tell you something. He's the only hope that you have today, the only hope for this world that's fast and running away from him, the only hope that we can grasp on and have a solid foundation is Christ. See him this morning. You might be struggling with something, a sin. You might be something in your life that you've tried to overcome, that you try, you try, you try, but you can't. He can this morning. He can. See him. Why are you here? Why did he bring you here? Why do you think that you just came here? Do you think it's a coincidence? It's God reaching you and saying, see for what you can see here this morning. Christ is here. And let me tell you something, you can have a new heart. You can have a heart transplant this morning. You can have a heart transplant if you need it. If you've never received Christ, if you never know what it is, say, what in the world is that preacher so excited about? What in the world? Because I know what I was. I was a terrible sinner, and I've shared my testimony with you guys time and time again. And if he could save somebody like me, there's nobody in this room. You cannot make a scenario that say, well, he'll never say that. Wrong answer. He can save you from the lowest place that you ever thought you could ever come, and he can make you a child of the King this morning. But you're going to have to see 2020. You're going to have to see that today's the day that Christ is calling you. Quit playing games. If you came to this church, it doesn't matter how long it is, and you know what? We're getting ready to have an invitation time in a few minutes. Don't worry about what somebody else thinks. Put that behind you, and for a moment, spiritual vision, 2020 vision, and see God has a purpose and a plan, and he's pulling at your heart. And this morning, he's saying, you, put your name in there. I want to come face to face with you this morning. Where are you at with Christ? Where are you? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When was the last time you thought about Christ's coming? So many things going on. Careers, relationships, all these things that just seem to suck the life out of us, pull life. When was the last time you thought about Christ coming? Do you realize he could come before I even get this breath out? He could come now. If he came right this instant, would you stand before him, right before God, because of what he's done in your life? That could happen, my friend. Will you stand forgiven before God because you received Christ's forgiveness and you became a new creation? Not with my head. You could say it all day long, but has your heart really changed? You say, how do I know if my heart's really changed? Your life will play out what you believe. Your mouth can say many things, but your life plays out what you believe. Are you have a singleness of mind? Applications, and we'll have our response time. Be absolutely honest with God this morning. Are you single-minded for God, or are you distracted? Only you can answer that, by the way. I want you to answer that before the Lord. Be honest before the God, because he knows it. Are you single-minded for God, or are you distracted? Do you just use God like a billfold when you need him to pull him out? Oh, yeah, I love God. Put him back up. Doesn't make no change. Is that how God is in your life, or are you single-minded? Is he a part of your work, your relationship, everything that you do? Is he a part of that, or are you distracted? Number two, realize only God can make you pure. Not works. I'm not saying that you need to. Here's what I did, and I've shared this before. I need to quit doing this. I need to quit doing that. I need to quit. You can't quit doing those things that make you right with God. Only God can make you right with him. Look, I'm about chipped over the rock. Only God can make you right with him. quit fooling yourself or telling yourself that you need to quit doing something, or it's kind of works-based. Draw to Him. Draw near to Him. It's that drawing near to Him that makes you right with Him, that closeness that makes you more Christ-like. And then, thirdly, focus on the future. What's it going to be like in eternity? Are you going to be there? Let me tell you something. By the authority of God's Word, not by mine, you will be alive a billion years from now. Everyone sitting in this room will be alive. You'll either be alive in heaven with Christ, or you'll be alive in hell separated from Christ forever. So there's not a matter of, you can say, well, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter what we believe. It's what the Word of God says. Bottom line. So you can choose to reject that, but a billion years from now, you're either going to be saying, praise God, or you're going to be saying, oh, Lord, if I would have just listened. Only two choices. Are you saved, or do you have a pure heart? You have spiritual vision this morning. You have 2020 vision. We're going to come and start playing, and we'll have our invitation time. The question on the table is, are you going to see God? Are you going to see God? Are you going to experience God every day through His Word, through creation, through life? Are you going to see Him at the end one day when you stand forgiven before God because of what Christ has done for you? Or are you going to continue to just say, well, I'm not ready to do that yet? I just wonder how many people are saying that in hell right now, and we'll say it for eternity. Well, I'm not ready to do that yet. I'm not ready to give up whatever sin it is that I hold on to and think is so precious. The devil fools so many that way, and him keeping us beat down, keeping us separated from God. You might be searching this morning, and you're looking for that thing that brings fulfillment. Let me tell you, you've got authority of God's Word. It's Jesus Christ and a relationship with Him, and you can have that this morning. Let's all stand to our feet. When Brittany starts singing, if you need that, if you don't have Christ, do not hesitate. Whenever she starts singing, come, receive Christ. If there's something in your life you know you're not single-minded, you know you're distracted, come and give it to the Lord at this altar. The main thing is to be obedient to whatever it is God is saying to you this morning. Don't worry about anything else. Now that's the truth. This is the best part right here. Come on. Woo! Come on, Jesus. Do you know Him today? Don't turn Him away. The Lord's moving. You hear, you need Christ. This is your day. What about you? What's God saying to you this morning? Don't leave. Don't be disobedient. I'm not going to beg you. The Holy Spirit spoke to you. That's all it takes. If He spoke to your heart, come forward. Altar's full. You ain't going to be by yourself. Hey. just let Wilma play for a minute. I love each and every one of you. Don't know where you're at, but God does. Please know this. If you don't have Christ, see me after service. If maybe walking an aisle was something foreign to you, please don't miss out on the greatest thing that ever happened to you, and that's knowing Christ as your personal Savior. God is so good. He loves you. And whatever you're facing, don't let Satan have you hold on to your sin. There's nothing that you can't let go of. There's nothing that's too great that he can't save you from. So don't listen to that either. But just know that God loves you and that I love you. And that we're gonna pray this quietly just another minute. Still people praying, so we'll be quiet, but we'll dismiss. I won't keep you any longer. Just remember, Vacation Bible School, 4:00 today, kickoff. If you know some kids that aren't in church, invite them to come. We're going to have a great time this week, and so thankful for everybody that's worked so hard. So I'm going to dismiss. Sam, if you'll dismiss us in prayer, and we'll ease out.